Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Well, you can be seated. That's enough. So, good evening, beautiful ladies. Girl power tonight. It's all girl power. And thank you, Pastor Nicole, for having me. I have been looking forward to this. I've been praying about this. I've been studying on this. And you know how you study and study and study. And then Pastor Nicole danced all around my message. I thought she was just going to preach it. And I was like, settle down, lady. Settle down. But that's okay. Amen. We're going to start off tonight. We're going to look at a scripture that's probably very familiar with, you're probably very familiar with it. It's Romans 12:2. And most of my scripture, unless I say differently, comes from the Amplified Classic. Someone once said, you can tell that's a woman's translation because it's so wordy. And actually, it's the closest translation and the most accurate translation to the actual original Hebrew and Greek. And I think that's why I love it so much. And it's my favorite study translation, but it's the Amplified Classic, not the regular Amplified, the classic, amen? Because I'm a classic. So I was thinking when I saw the promo for the women's conference, I'm like, wow, they used a picture of me from 12 years ago. I like it. I like that picture. I'm like, it is so pretty because it was so long ago. But Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. How many of you want to walk in the perfect will of God? You know, it's one thing to be in His permissive will because He still loves you, even if it's just permissive will. But it's another thing to be in the perfect will of God. And when I heard Brother Hagin, who is my spiritual father, Kenneth Hagin, he said one time, I think it was, I'm not going to say how many years because I'll get it wrong, but there was years and years the Lord told him, you were just in my permissive will of God. And you know, I thought, wow, for him to even admit that, it's a lot. But tonight, I'm going to challenge you to be a rebel with a cause. And that's the title of my message this morning. A rebel, we usually think a rebel is something bad. Because when you hear about a rebel, you're like, ooh, that's bad. But that's not what we're talking about tonight. A rebel is someone who strongly opposes something. And we always see it as negative, but we're going to see it as positive tonight. So back when I was growing up, about the third grade, I had been shy and I had been real bashful and I'd hide behind my mom's leg and everything. But all of a sudden, I don't know what it was about the third grade, but suddenly I just became the leader of the pack. I thought I was too cool for school. And so here I was, just trying new things. So I decided that I was going to start shaving my legs in the third grade. Now, back in those days, razors have come a long way, baby. But back in those days, it was the double-sided razor. It was my daddy's razor. And so I was sitting there and I thought, I'm going to shave my legs. I didn't know how. If I'd asked my mom, she'd have said, oh, no, you're not. But I said, I'm going to do it. Well, I didn't know you had to tighten that thing real tight. I took a strip of skin all the way off the shin of my leg. I screamed bloody murder. My mom came running. I was holding up that long piece of skin. Well, it seemed long because I was in third grade. I think I got a spanking. I think I got grounded. I think I got a lecture. But you know, once you start shaving, you can't stop. It's an ongoing thing. And I was thinking, did I shave my legs for this? But so I was kind of a rebel, but I don't think it was all good rebelling. But I kind of became a leader in my class. And I think God might have been preparing me for something on down the road that I didn't quite realize at the time. But so that same year, I pierced my ears. And back then, you didn't pierce your ears till you were a teenager. And so I just started doing all these things. And my mom wasn't that crazy about all that. But, you know, she dealt with it. And I grew up. So I became a rebel in the third grade. You want to know who else was a rebel? Jesus. Jesus was a rebel. He didn't fit in that box that the Pharisees and the Sadducees tried to put him in. Because you know why they were sad, you see? It's because they were religious, but they were not about relationships. They were all about religion. Religion derives from a Latin word meaning obligation and bondage. Religion will try to box you in. It will try to put you in a little box so you can't get out and do what God has called you to do. And I'm telling you, He's called each one of us to be messengers of reconciliation. But if you're in a box and you're all concerned about in that box, it's just all about me, poor little me. You're never going to do what He called you to do. But see, Jesus, He was a rebel. He ate with sinners. He did. He turned water into wine. He did at a wedding. He forgave a prostitute when everybody else wanted to stone her according to the law of that time. But He forgave her. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He was not religious. There was not a religious bone in His body. He was not religious. He was all about relationships. And see, the Bible tells us that we're to be about our Father's business. So we're to be all about relationships too. You know, a long time ago in the ministry, Pastor Eddie, you all know him, and I have been in the ministry for 40 some odd years, a long, long time. And I learned a long time ago, it's not my place to make anything happen. I preach the word. We teach the word. We preach the word. Signs and wonders follow us because we're believers. But God, He adds increase to the church. You know, when we were young pastors, I thought I was supposed to grow the church. And it kind of got, this is not even in my notes, it's free. But it kind of got to be a burden on me if I didn't think the church was growing the way it should be. If I didn't think this was happening as fast as it should, or this was going down like it should. And I would take it personally. And I would go to God in prayer. And finally, I listened. He had been trying to talk to me. And finally, I listened. He said, that's not your job. You are co-laborers with me. It's not my job. Well, I can't heal a gnat's wing, but you know, that's Jesus. That's His job. We're to preach the gospel. The anointing is there. The anointing's there for you to get whatever you came for tonight. It's here. The anointing is here. But it's not my place to make sure you get it. I'm just speaking into your life tonight by the Holy Ghost. He's given me some good stuff to say. But it's the Holy Ghost. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on Him. And so the devil, he has one trick. One trick only. Do you know that the devil only has one trick? One trick. Deception. He's a one-trick pony. He's a one-trick devil. Everything he does stems from deception. If he can deceive you, he can get you on his side. And you know, when I was getting ready to come here today, And I Ben had my message, and you know, the Holy Ghost and Pastor Eddie tries to change it every time. He's like, give me your message. I'll help you with it. I'm like, I don't need your help. I got the Holy Ghost. And Tyler's the same way. He does his mom and dad like that. My grandson that's called into the ministry, he'll say, do y'all need some help with that message? I'm like, you're not the Holy Ghost. You get out of here. But as I was getting ready to come, the Holy Ghost whispered to my spirit, when people are deceived by the devil, they begin to deceive others. They take on the nature. He is not our father. The devil is not our father. So why in the world would we let his deception get on us to the point that we take on the nature of him? Why would we want to have the nature of the devil? No, we're to have the nature of God, not the devil. He wants to keep us so tied up and tangled up, and because the word says he comes for the word's sake. He doesn't give a hoot about us. He doesn't give a hoot if he kills us in the process. Because, you know, until you've had a brush with death, you don't realize how good it is to be alive. But he comes with deception because he wants to take you out. But he can't. He can't take you out unless you allow him to take you out. He can't. Matter of fact, John 10:10 says, the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it in abundance until it overflows. That's the kind of life he wants his women in here to be living. The abundant life, the overflowing life, so abundant that it comes out and goes over onto other people. The people that you're around, when you're walking in the abundant life, it can't help but come up and get on others, because that's what abundance does. You know, if you're in abundance, but the people you're teaching are not walking in abundance, there's something wrong. He wants not just pastors to walk in abundance. He wants all his men and women, his boys and girls, to walk in the abundant life. And I tell you what, this weekend, I hope you go away with the knowledge that I am worthy. I am worthy. I am worthy to walk in the abundance that God has provided for me. Because, you know, if we don't, I have a feeling some people's going to get to heaven. And they're going to realize, because they're going to have to start in kindergarten, and they're going to realize all the things they could have had on earth, but they never tapped into it because the devil had them so deceived that they were always thinking about how unworthy they were. Well, he wants to change your mindset, the Lord does this weekend. He wants to change your mindset to know that you are worthy. If you don't hear anything else I say tonight, know that you are worthy. So who would you want to partner with? Would you want to partner with someone who steals, kills, and destroys? Or would you want to partner with someone who gives you life and life more abundantly? I mean, that's an easy test. Amen. That's easy. We know to choose, but so many times we just let the devil just run all over us. And we get in a pity party and we think, oh, why me? Why me? And God's over here saying, no, I've called you to walk in abundance. I've called you to walk in my abundance. So I have a question for you. You don't have to answer out loud. But are you living in his fullness tonight? Are you living in his fullness? Is it overflowing? If the answer's no, I've got good news for you. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection made it possible for you to live in the abundance. He is saying to us tonight, take the limits off. Take the limits off. One time I was, we were praying for somebody that was in critical condition. They were in a coma and they eventually died. And it was a young person. And I was in the chapel of the hospital just pouring my heart out to God. And I was saying, Lord, heal this guy. Heal this guy. And you know, I had a vision during in the chapel, in the hospital. The Lord showed me a vision of Jesus with his hands tied. I said, Jesus's hands are tied? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, yes, his parents have tied my hands because they're unbelievers. And they don't believe. And they have more authority in his life than you do. And the young man died. And it really got to me when I realized that we can tie Jesus' hands from working in a situation when we don't believe that he can heal, when we don't believe that he can set free. Because he's already done it, amen. He's done all he's going to do about your healing. He's done all he's going to do about you being set free. We just have to take it. We just have to take it. You know, it all started when the enemy deceived Eve in the garden. That's where it all started. And you may, like I've done in the past, think, oh, stupid, stupid Eve. You know, if I had been in the garden... No, if I had been in the garden, he'd have probably pulled a double whammy on me. But you know, we want to say, because I've even said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to try to find Eve. And I'm going to say, what was wrong with you, heifer? No. That's my Georgia. I was born and raised in Georgia. That's my Georgia coming out. But anyway, he would have probably... deceived us even worse. So we can't just hate Eve, you know. We can't hate people. But do you honestly think that he walked up to Eve and said, hello, it's me. I must have called 1,000 times. I can't sing. I'm not Adele. But do you think the devil actually did that? Do you think he actually walked up and said, hello, Eve, it's me, Satan. I have come to destroy your life. No, he changed his whole form. He came in a disguise. He doesn't show up in a red and black suit with a pitchfork and horns coming out and said, hey, I got some deception for you today. You want a dose of my deception? Because if he came like that, we would all say, no, devil, get behind me, for it is written. We would all say that. But that's not how he comes. The Bible says in Genesis, when it talks about how he deceived Eve, that he was crafty. And that doesn't mean he did arts and crafts. He was crafty. And you know, he's been honing those skills all this time. He's been honing those skills. Crafty means clever at achieving one's aims by indirect or deceitful methods. And that's the devil in a nutshell. You know, the serpent... That was the form that he came in. It wasn't like the serpents we see now. Because if you recall, God cursed him. And he said, on your belly, you'll crawl the rest of your life and you'll eat dust. That was his curse for deceiving Eve. He's been on his belly and he's been crawling all this time. Because that's how the devil appeared to her. Not as the devil, but in disguise. You know, he can deceive you into believing you're not worthy, as I said earlier, that you're not good enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not tall enough, you're not short enough, you're not thin enough. You're not smart enough. You're not spiritual enough. You're not this or you're not that. Years ago, we had a prayer warrior come to our church. I mean, she was a mighty woman of prayer. And one day we were in the church, and I was young. And she said, "Allie, come pray with me." And I'm like, "Oh, lady." Because she was the highest person in prayer I had ever been around. I mean, when she went into prayer, she just, whoo. I mean, you know, I'm like, and you know, I remember thinking, what if I say something wrong? Is she going to correct me if I say something wrong? What if I don't pray like she prays? And I started doubting myself that I could pray like this woman of God. And the Holy Ghost said, "Well, you're a woman of God. Why are you doubting yourself? I didn't call you to pray like her. I called you to pray like you." So you don't have to raise your hand, but if you've ever been intimidated praying with someone else, remember, God doesn't care if you mess up. He'll eventually correct you, and you'll grow from it. But he's not up there with a baseball bat just wanting to clobber you over the head every time you mess up. The church I grew up in, that's how I saw God. I did not grow up in a spirit-filled church. And I saw God as a mean God. A God that wanted to get even with you. Because every revival we had, the revivalist, the evangelist would preach hell like they had just got back. And every revival, at the end, I'd go down and get saved all over again. Every single time. Because they would say, "If you get killed on the way home in a car crash, do you know where you're going?" And I'd start thinking, "Well, I don't know. I thought I was going to heaven, but you know what? I don't know now, because now he has made me doubt myself and doubt my salvation." And so I would run down. Now, this was as a kid. So I would run down to the altar, and I'd make things right. And then the next week, I'd act the fool again. Because I didn't understand what it was to be in him. I didn't understand that it was a place of peace, that it was a place of rest, that it was a place where you could just be with him. I didn't understand the communion with him, because nobody taught me how to pray when I was growing up. I didn't know that I could commune with him like he has called us to commune with him. I didn't know I could just pour out my heart to him and he would answer me and show me a better way. I didn't know. But thank God we know now. Amen. Thank God we are not ignorant to the devil's devices. We are not. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion." It doesn't say as a lion, like a lion, roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Vigilant means alertly watchful, especially to avoid danger. He's called us to be well balanced in all areas. Don't get in the ditch on either side of the road. He's called us to be vigilant. He's called us to be cautious at all times, to know that we know the voice of the shepherd, and another voice we will not follow, because it's a voice of deception. That's his MO, deception. He runs around like an old lion that's already had all his teeth pulled But he's wanting to bully. He just goes around bullying people. And roaring. He can still roar. And roaring, but all his teeth have been pulled. Jesus pulled all his teeth, amen. All his teeth have been pulled. So he's just running around bullying by deception. You're not good enough. You're not spiritual enough. You can't go to that church. You're not like them. You don't have any friends at that church. Well, she who has friends must show herself friendly. You know, if you sit over in the corner by yourself and never speak to anybody, you're not going to have friends. Isn't that right? But if you show yourself friendly, God will lead friends to you. But see, that's a trick of the devil to keep you out of church. You know, stay home. You don't need friends at home. It's just you, all by yourself. Just stay home. So I'm going to go over 2 points real quickly. Things that the enemy will deceive you into. Now, we could have a list a mile long of things he will deceive you into. But these are the two that I felt like we needed to touch on tonight. Number one, the enemy will deceive you into thinking that God loves everyone else more than he loves you. Right. We once had a lady ask us, why did God heal her and not heal me? I've been going to church longer. I'm older. I'm this. I'm that. And we told her, like Acts 10:34 says, God is not a respecter of persons. He is not. But when you listen to the devil and start comparing yourself, well, why did she get healed? I didn't get healed. God must love her more than he loves me. Now, my husband, Eddie, always says that he's God's favorite child, but he's not. I got news for him. I'm God's favorite child. No, we are all God's favorites. He is no respecter. He loves you as much as he loves me. And he loves me as much as he loves you. And I'm gonna let you in on a little secret of mine, a confession that I do every day. Well, I'm not going to say every day. I'm sure I've missed a day, so I'm not going to lie. But most every day, I say this. I love everybody, and everybody loves me. Sometimes I look in the mirror and say it. It'll really help you with your love walk. When you confess, I love everyone, everyone loves me. And you kind of start your day a little bit different. Instead of looking for something to complain about or something to just, you know, have it out with somebody, if you're in the line to check out and the checkout clerk has had a bad day and she just bites your head off, you don't bite her head back off. You walk in love. When a clerk does that to me, It's on like Donkey Kong. It's a challenge. I'm going to make her smile before I walk out that door. I am going to make her smile. And 9 times out of 10, I achieve it because I am going to fall all over myself walking in love. And I'll even say, how's your day been going? And oh boy, that's a loaded question because they will unload on you. And all you have to say is, you know what? I'm praying that the rest of your day will go good. God bless you. You have a good day. And now, who can be mean when you tell somebody that? God bless you. Have a great day. So I was kind of joking with a friend of ours. We were at a church preaching. I'm not going to call names or anything. But Pastor and Eddie and I were at a church preaching. And I had spoke that night. And so after I spoke, this couple came up to me. I didn't know anybody there except the pastor and his wife. So this couple came up to me, And they just hugged me and told me how much they loved me and how much they loved that word and how much they appreciated me. Then she went on to say, the next time you come, you can stay at our condo on the beach if you want to. And I thought, this is my new BFL. And because I love me some beach. And so we're talking, and she's just being so sweet. So when we get after the service, when we're back with the pastor and his wife, and we're talking, because they're dear friends of ours, and we're talking and all, and I said, I didn't catch the name, but who is that that young couple, such and such, such and such? So I started describing them. She said, you talking about so-and-so? And the way she said, I said, yeah, they are the sweetest people. She said, no, they're not. I said, yes, they are. I said, they were just hugging on me. She said, she's never hugged me. In all these years, she's never hugged me. And I said, they were just so sweet. So then Eddie and her husband walked in, and he said to his wife, you are not going to believe this. So-and-so couple, the couple I was talking about, gave in the special offering. They've never given anything to this church the whole time they've been coming, but they gave in the special offering. And she was like, oh my gosh. Now, they were faithful to go. They just didn't have a revelation on giving and tithing. And so I said to the pastor's wife, I said, let me help you here. Every day I confess that I love everybody and everybody loves me. And I said, you should try that. You should try that and do it. And so we were back there not long ago. And guess who just runs up and hugs me and wants to talk about my business because she's got a business and she wants to do this and she wants to do that. Just the sweetest thing in the world. But I'm telling you, it's because of my confession. You can have what you say. You do have what you say. You're having today what you said yesterday or last week or last month. We walk in the things that we confess. So it's important that your mouth lines up with the Word of God. So when the devil comes to deceive you, you can tell him just like Jesus did when he came to deceive Jesus when he was walking on the earth. Jesus said, it is written. It is written. It is written, because he'll tell you half lies and he'll tell you half truths. But you got to throw the, and if you don't know the Word, you're in a mess. You need to know the Word so that you can tell him, look, it is written, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. When the doctor gives you a bad report, don't you go home and start phoning a friend and telling them all about that bad report. You get in your car. Don't be mean to the doctor, but you get in your car and you say, Lord, I will believe the report of the Lord. Yes. I will not believe the report that the doctor gave me. I believe and only will say the report of the Lord. I'm not going to phone a friend and tell them, oh, the doctor gave me 6 months to live. Because that's going to start a roller coaster effect, and you will have 6 months to live. But you better go home and get in the Word, because the Word will show you what's good. It'll show you what's right. It'll show you what you need to say. And number two, he will deceive you into thinking you're afraid. He'll convince you that God doesn't love you. And number two, he will deceive you into thinking that you're afraid. And instead of going the Word, you'll start being afraid of spiders and joking about it. It's not a joke. It really isn't to joke about what you're afraid of. Because the devil, he looks for a hold he can get in you. You know, he couldn't get a hold of Jesus because he said, I found nothing in him to get a foothold in. But he will, I'm sorry, did I step? Oh, I stepped on your purse. I thought I'd stepped on your foot. And, but he will try to find your weakness, what you struggle in. And most people, he don't have to try to find because you tell him every day. I'm afraid. I'm afraid of dogs. I'm afraid of flying. I'm afraid of man. That is the biggest fear. That's why so many women don't step into what God's called them to because they're afraid of what others will say. They're afraid of man. They're afraid of mankind. And God did not call us to be afraid of men. We are not to fear. He's given us, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us power, love, and a sound mind." We have power over the enemy. We, because of him, not because of anything we did, but because of what Jesus did. He gave us the power over all the enemy. He didn't give us fear. The enemy is the god of this world. You know, the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world system. Not of the world, but the world system. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "For the god of this world has blinded the unbelievers' minds that they should not discern the truth, preventing them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ the Messiah, who is the image and likeness of God." If he can deceive you in any of these areas we've talked about tonight, he's got you right where he wants you. I think it was last year, we were in corporate prayer at church. I was leading prayer. It was on a Wednesday night. And all of a sudden, I just had a vision. And I saw into the heavenlies. And I saw Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father. But then I saw all these chairs. They were covered with gossamer. They were just light and airy and beautiful chairs. And no one was in these chairs. No one. It was just Jesus and the Father. No one in the chairs. And the Holy Spirit said to me, "Take your seat." He was telling me to pray that out. And so during prayer, I just started saying, "Take your seat. Take your seat." And I'm sure everybody else thought, "She is crazy. She is crazy." But I'm saying, "Take your seat. Take your seat. Take your seat. Take your seat." And then I'd pray in tongues and then I'd say, "Take your seat, take your seat, take your seat." And then at the end, I showed the ladies. I said, it was like people had forgotten that they were seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, high above all principalities, powers, and the rulers of the darkness. He's under our feet because Jesus put him there. Jesus put him under our feet. But so many times we let him crawl out from under our feet and get in our face and tell us how unlovely we are and how bad we are and how unworthy we are and how we are not fit to be in his kingdom. When he does that, you got to tell him where to go. You got to tell him to get back under your feet where he belongs. He is a defeated foe. Why is the church world letting him run all over them when he is a defeated foe? We only have to enforce that defeat. We don't have to defeat him all over again. And a lot of times, that's what we get hung up on. We think we got to defeat him again, that we got to fight the enemy. Honey, you don't have to fight. The only fight you have is the fight to stay in faith. That is the only fight we have. We do not have to fight the enemy anymore. He has been defeated. He's under your feet. He's not just under my feet. He's not just under Pastor Nicole's feet or Pastor Shanti's feet. He's under your feet. And my desire is to see the women of God walking in what God has called them to walk in and stepping out. Oh, some of you, God has been calling you to step out into something and you are so afraid because the devil has you all tangled up and tied up because of his deception. And you have to throw that off. He wants you to be self-conscious. You know, when you're self-conscious, you're more conscious of yourself than you are him. And he hasn't called us to be self-conscious. He has called us to be bold. Bold as lions. Bold as lions. Harmless as doves. You can be bold and harmless at the exact same time. Because he's called us to be bold. But that doesn't mean he's called us to be mean. Amen. He's called us to be bold. But to do it with our voices seasoned with grace. Oh, that's been my cry lately. When I spoke on Mother's Day, I talked about Hannah. And I talked about how her words were always seasoned with grace. And you can pray, God, help me season my words with grace. So you got to learn to recognize the voice of the enemy so you can put him on the run. Not so you can obey him, but so that you can put him on the run. Your reply, just like Jesus, should always be, "It is written." When sickness attacks your body, it is written, "By Jesus' stripes, I was healed." If I was healed, I am healed. When he attacks you in the financial arena, because that's one of the main areas he attacks couples in, the finances. You have to say, "It is written." It is written. I'm a tither and I'm a giver. That means the window of blessing is opened over me. You know, Brother Hagin used to teach us, when you have, this is for somebody, because this is not where I was going or where I was ending up. But he said, when you have a financial problem or you're facing some financial difficulties, you got to tell the devil to take his hands off your finances. Then you must loose the angels. Oh, that's a whole nother message. You must loose the angels and tell the angels. You know, the angels hearken to the word of God in our mouths. You loose the angels and tell them to bring in those finances. And then you praise God for it. I could give you so many testimonies of all the times God has come through for us and been there for us. Remember, you're not in competition with other women. Oh, I wish women could get that through their thick skulls. You are not in competition with other women. We should be lifting each other up. We should be speaking the word over each other. When somebody in your congregation gets a new house or a new car or a new whatever, you should be rejoicing with them. You shouldn't be, "Well, God, I've been believing for that too, but I hadn't seen mine." Well, that's why, because when you complain, you remain the same. That's what complain means, to stop and remain the same. So we got to stop complaining, amen? Stop complaining about your situation. You know, the Bible says be content where you are now. When you are complaining about the house you live in, when you're complaining about the car you're driving, when you're complaining about your husband won't do this and he won't do that and blah, 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 You are inviting the devil into the relationship so that you will remain the same. But when we say, "God, thank you for this car that the transmissions had it in. You know, it's barely running, But you know what? I'm not having to ride a bicycle. So thank you, God, for this car. And Father God, I believe that it's going to run until you give me the resources to get a new one. I'm going to close with this. When we were going to Bible school at Rhema, my husband and I with four little kids, and my dryer tore up. And you know, a mom that has four kids, you need a dryer, amen? Now, when I was little, we hung things on the line, but anyway, but you need that dryer. So we had somebody, it wasn't in the budget at the time for a new dryer. And this one would not start. So I called the repairman, and he came out there and he said, "Lady, the motor is shot. You need a new motor." Well, the motor cost about as much as a new dryer cost. And I'm like, if I'm going to do that, if I had the money to do that, because, you know, we were paying. Now, we lived in a nice house. Pastor had, or Eddie had a nice job. And all that was good. But we were both in school, and tuition was not cheap. So a lot of that money was going to childcare. It was going to tuition and all these things. And I said, "God," I talk to God like I do you. Amen. He thinks I'm funny, I think. And I think he made me so he could just laugh. You know, that thing I made. But so I was praying. And I said, "God, you know it's not in our budget for a new dryer. It's not there." And God said, "I know." I said, "But I'm not going to complain. I'm not." I said, "God, as God is my witness," I walked over there and I laid hands on that dryer. I said, "God, in the name of Jesus, I command this dryer to work." It was almond. How many remembers almond? The almond. It was after the avocado green, but it was almond. Do you know that dryer immediately started working? And do you know when we came to South Carolina to start the church, that dryer was still working? I finally had to pray, "God, please kill that dryer." I have had it with that dryer. One more story real quickly. Also, I think this is going to help somebody. Also, when we were at Rhema, 1 month, we didn't have the money to pay both of our tuitions. Because he went, then I went, then we finished together. So we didn't have the money. They give you 10 days. Well, at the end of the 10 days, we still didn't have the money. And so, because, you know, we had the kids and all that. So I said, "Okay, honey, it's more important that you go than I go, so I'm just going to stay home today. I'm not going to go." Because you can't go back. They give you 10 days. You can't go back until your tuition's paid. I said, "I'm staying home today." So that's back when everybody had landlines before cell phones. And so mid-morning, I'm just cleaning house and doing what mothers do. And I'm cleaning house and doing laundry with my healed dryer. And the phone rang. And so I went and I answered the phone. And it was our pastor from Georgia, who was also a Rhema grad. And he said, "Allie, why are you at home?" And I said, "Pastor, why are you calling me at home? If you didn't think I was supposed to be home." And I'm real. I'm just real. And he said, "Why aren't you in school?" And I wasn't going to tell him, because we've never told anybody our needs except for God. So I said, "Well, I'm just home today." That wasn't a lie. I'm home. So we talked a little bit, and he hung up the phone. Well, in a few minutes, the phone rang again. And you didn't even have caller ID back then. No. The dark ages. And so the phone rang again, and it was my pastor in Georgia, our pastor in Georgia again. He said, "Allie, go to school tomorrow. Your tuition's been paid. So the Holy Ghost had laid it on his heart to call me and ask me why was I at home. But I was not, because I'd been taught the word. I was not going to give in because I was believing God for the money to pay our tuition. Now, a lot of people would have called the pastor and said, I don't have the money to pay the tuition. Well, that's not what God's called us to do. He's called us to go to him. Always go to him. Get in the word, learn the word, so every time the devil tries to deceive you, you can say, it is written. Amen. You can see dryers healed. You can see tuition come in. And I have so many testimonies of the goodness of God. How many of you know God is good? And his mercies endure forever. When you need his mercy, all you got to do is ask for it. God, I need your mercy today. You get pulled over speeding. God, I'm guilty, but I need your mercy today. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We worship you, Father. We thank you, Father, for this day that you have made. We rejoice and we are glad in it. Father God, I thank you for the word that's gone forth tonight. Father, I pray that it has fallen onto people who need this. I thank you, Lord, that words have been imparted tonight by the Holy Ghost. Father God, I thank you that these women will, none of us will leave the way we came after this weekend. I thank you, Father, for new relationships this weekend. I thank you, Father, for new opportunities this weekend. I thank you, Father, that you are dropping things into some of these women that they have been praying for and they have been believing for, and they will get their answer this weekend because they have given of their time. They have had to arrange babysitters and this and that so that they could be here. And I get in agreement with them that they will not leave the way they came. They will get fresh revelation and they will go and do the word that they have heard. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Can we just give God some extra praise? And Pastor Allie, glory to God. Glory to God. As I was meditating in the back and just hearing the theme of enough, you know, more like it. Our God, he's so good. He's giving us everything that we've needed. He's given us more than enough. And that's like the theme is enough. And I'm just so excited because what he's going to impart to us already through Pastor Allie and what he's going to do even more tomorrow. Like our God, he's not a small God. He's a big God. He's a great God. And if this is what he's going to start with tonight, what more does he have tomorrow? What more does he have the next day? What more does he have the next week? He's not just going to stop with this enough conference. He's not going to be like, well, that's great. They drove out. Woo. Like, that's so sweet that they came. No, our God gives us even more than we can think, ask, or imagine. And that's my expectation. As we were planning, as we were sowing seed of our time, we weren't just expecting like, oh yay, logistics that worked. No, we were expecting the anointing during these meetings. We're expecting a move of God during these meetings. We're expecting that when the men see us on Sunday, no matter what church they're going to, they're like, what happened this weekend? And it's already starting tonight. So Pastor Mama, do you have anything before we wrap up?
I don't want to preach behind the preacher, so I won't. But I'm so excited, y'all. Like, I hope y'all can see. It was so funny because Pastor Allie got up here and she's like, well, Pastor Nicole just preached all around my message. We're sitting there and Pastor Shanti taps my shoulder. She goes, now she's preaching my message. But I hope you heard, sorry, my dress is short. I hope you heard the heart of God in that message for you. You are enough. You are so loved, and you are so much more than you have any clue. And we're going to take tomorrow and we're going to pour into you. Not because you're not enough, because I don't think you realize, I don't realize yet just how enough we already are. Just how enough we are in Christ. Like the world will take us and try to, you know, beat us down, grate us like, you know, cheese. Abby loves some shredded cheese. And shredded cheese is great. Shredded Christians is not. But the world will try to grate at us. But the Word builds us up. And it's time for us to get into the Word together. Strengthen each other. Iron sharpening iron. And that's what we as women of God are called to do. We are called to strengthen each other. Y'all, look, how many women have y'all heard say, look, I'd rather work with a bunch of men than women? How many of us have said it? I love y'all, but I mean, I have. Right? Because we have this stereotypical idea, and because we've all heard the idea, it's almost like we come in on the offensive. It's like, they probably don't like women. I'm going to show them, you know? And so then we're like, well, she don't like me. I don't like her. I ain't even spoken a word to her, and I'm already assuming she don't like me, right? Because that's what the world does. But what's the one thing Pastor Allie told us that this enemy has? What's the one tool in his shed? Deception. And basically, it's so important to know the voice of the Father, because any other voice, the voice of the enemy, it's a liar, low down, dirty dog liar, right? So if it's not the voice of the Father, whatever it says, you can guarantee liar, liar, pants on fire, right? That's what the purpose of this weekend is to have women come together, recognize the love and the truth of the Father, strengthen each other, and join together. I pray when you walk out of here, not only do you know how enough you are, but I pray that you look to the left and look to the right and see women that you are blessed to call sisters. I am so blessed to co-labor in the ministry with not just these two, all y'all. Because as a believer, we're ambassadors of Christ, right? We are called to do like Pastor Allie said. And I told y'all I wouldn't preach behind the preacher. I'm so sorry. I love you. You got me stirred up. It's your fault. We're supposed to take that message. You know, it's not all on us to do the doing. We just get to do the carrying. Like, I can carry. Look, I carried babies on hips, and I got pocketbooks out the yin-yang. I can carry some stuff, y'all. Right? There's nothing greater than the anointing of God that we get to carry. And this weekend, we're going to carry it, and we're going to get filled up with it, and we're going to be reminded or maybe told for the first time ever, this is who you are. You are not just a wife. You are not just a mama. You are not just a daughter. You're not just a student. You're not just an auntie. You're not just a nobody. You are an anointed daughter of the one true King. And to this weekend, you're going to meet yourself. Maybe for the first time ever. Yeah, I was like Pastor Allie. Those at Boomerang know my testimony. I was like Pastor Allie. I'd just as soon hide in the booth, like under the booth, than be up here. Because that's who I thought I was. I don't need to be seen. I don't need to be heard. Just let me hide. Blend in with the wall. Like we were watching Fantastic Four. What's that girl's name? Abby just walked out. What? Her? Susan. Yes. Oh, it was you watching it with us. Susan, have y'all seen the Fantastic Four? Have y'all seen the neat trick that Susan does outside of shedding her clothes? You know, the really neat trick is that she can be completely invisible. And when I was growing up, man, I wanted that superpower. I was like, I don't know how you do that, but if I could be the invisible woman, yeah, buddy. But then, you know, Holy Spirit's like, watch this. You know, you can't tell me God's not Southern when he says, hey, y'all, watch this. And that's what he did with me. I'm pretty sure he like elbowed Peter. You want to see something funny? And he had me marry a preacher. Daggum. And then he called me to preach. Double doggone. Then he anointed me as a pastor. Lord, do you know who you're talking to? Because remember, I don't like people, right? That's what I told people. Like, I don't like people. How am I supposed to love them like a pastor? But I got up here and I started ministering the word. And the first ministry I did, this was the pulpit. And the message was 10 minutes. Shortest boomerang service ever. It's Pastor Brian's fault because he was laying in bed sick and I told him, get up and be healed. And he said, get out and preach. And I did for 10 solid minutes. But I tell you what, when I started ministering the word of God, it was like I had been holding my breath underwater and I finally came up and it was like, and I felt like I was living for the first time ever. That's who we are when we get a hold of the word of God. I pray tomorrow you walk out of here feeling like for the first time maybe ever, and if it's not the first time, feeling like again, you can breathe. Because you're reminded of who you are in Christ. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you're amazing. And I know I don't know all of y'all. But you know who I do know? I know my daddy. And my daddy don't make no junk. Which means if you're sitting here with breath in your body, you are made in the image and likeness of my daddy. And like, I'm daddy's girl. You ain't going to talk smack about my daddy. But here's the thing. If you're made in his image and likeness and you talk against your image, who are you talking against? My daddy, and we're going to have to take it out back. So this week, I want you, starting tonight, I want you to look in the mirror. I want you to confess, I'm enough. And because I'm enough, I love everybody. And everybody loves me. Take that away this weekend. I am enough. I love everybody. Everybody loves me. Those who think that they don't, they just don't know you yet. I love y'all, and y'all love me. And it's a good night. And look, y'all, it's early. And here's one thing, and you don't have to do this, but I'm going to encourage you. One thing that we say at Boomerang is we are not the best body. We are a part of the best body. And like Pastor Allie said, we're not in competition with each other. And churches aren't in competition with each other either. There is a phenomenal church service going on at Glean and Mission Church tonight with brother Teddy and Sister Carolyn. And they're wrapping up nights. And if y'all ever know anything about Brother Teddy Shuttlesworth, he wraps it up nice. So if you want some more of the word because you didn't get enough here, go get the overflow there. Otherwise, we're not in a hurry to get out. Take some time to fellowship. Love on each other. Look, save Becca, but you've got a lot less. We don't have kids pulling on us because your kids are playing in another room. Becca's only got one. She usually has like half of a football team. Right? You don't have anybody pulling on you tonight. I have no clothes here for you to fold. I have no dishes for you to wash. I have nothing for you to do. Doesn't that feel nice? Like you just get to be almost like a little girl again. I got no responsibilities. It's so nice. Look, we got guys in the back doing all the heavy lifting. Thank you, Buddy and George. Enjoy the evening. Stay, fellowship, love on each other, or go get the word. But Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for the time to come together, sharpening each other, growing in the word. Lord, understanding more than ever before who we are in you. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father. Your word tells us that your people perish for a lack of knowledge. Father, we walk out of here today with knowledge. We will not perish because we know who we are in you. And Lord, you say we're enough. And if you say it, we say it too. Father, I thank you that you've put a love within us for ourselves and for each other. Never again will we go back to the days of not liking ourselves and not liking other women. Lord, we are a woman of your anointed love, and we thank you for it, Father. Lord, I pray a bloodline of protection around each and every woman here tonight. Father, bring them back hungry, ready to be filled up again. And Lord, we thank you for the women that couldn't be here tonight that are coming tomorrow. Lord, get them here with an expectation. And Lord, we thank you in advance for the food that's going to be here tomorrow too. Thank you for each and every man and woman that's poured into this conference. Lord, I thank you for the harvest that they will receive for esteeming your word. In Jesus' name, amen.